Welcome in and all once again to a very special episode of Nerds on the Rocks. I am joined this week by former comic AMFU alumni. We have Josh.
Hello, how is everybody?
And we have Kyle.
I have risen.
Oh God.
Wow. I didn't realize going into this ego thing again with Kyle.
As my Padawan, you should just shut up, okay?
I don't know if this is a thing or if this is just Kyle, but before we make this the Kyle show, we are actually here to talk about DC Comics, and more specifically, we're going to talk about the New 52. I figured with the start of Convergence, kind of officially marks the end of the New 52, not necessarily the stories and the world that the New 52 created, but more or less the branding of the New 52, which has lasted in DC Comics for about 3.5 years, now 4.5 years? And
yeah, it's not really new anymore.
Well, and that was kind of my running joke. It's like that was a branding that should have died after the first year. And then when it kept on for the second year and the third year, it's kind of like, yeah, you're no longer new. And, you know, the branding was kind of an anchor to them. And I guess we can start there in that they called it the New 52, which meant that they mandated themselves to have 52 books on the market at all times, which was never really the case except for the initial launch, because they would do like, okay, here's 52 books. We're going to also have some miniseries that don't necessarily count as those 52. Okay, we're getting rid of 13 books, which means we have to find 13 new books to replace them. So let's make 8 of them Batman related.
Yeah, no kidding.
So well, I'm
part
happy.
Of the problem
that...
was always.
What happened?
Part of the problem was always that, like, part of the problem was always that they sent out several books to die anyway, and then they tried to overcompensate them. It's like they had a war book. Nobody bought the war book, so they gave it another war book, and then surprise, surprise, nobody bought that.
Well, see, I can understand that. I mean, and this is, I mean, I guess going back to the beginning, this is something that I think they tried with the start of New 52, where it was like, we're going to do diversity, we're going to try to do diversity. You know, they aren't with Batwoman, they aren't with Mr. Terrific, they aren't with Static Shock, they aren't with this and that. But I think the biggest problem with that, in hindsight, was that it was diversity for diversity's sake and not necessarily like, okay, we have great stories for these characters and we have creators who want to tell these stories. We're just going to... And that's kind of what they did. When they replaced it, it's like, okay, what other obscure property do we have that we can kind of showcase? And in some cases, it worked. I don't necessarily know... I mean, I think the only real success story from the New 52 was the launch of the Harley Quinn book, as far as like new titles went.
Well, you mean just ones that just lasted forever, or ones that like, people were raving about? Because
well, I mean both.
Because Batwoman's has only just been cancelled, I think, hasn't it?
Yeah, but Batwoman was a popular... Because the creative team for Batwoman was on there before the New 52.
I suppose.
Like, I'm talking...
In that
like,
case,
like,
really.
Yeah, I mean, like, the, you know, there was Batman and Justice
League. You have, like, Animal Man and that kind of thing there.
Yeah, but Animal,
but
Animal
you had
Man...
Animal Man and, like, Aquaman.
Aquaman,
they weren't, like, very popular, right?
I will grant you Aquaman, because I do think that Aquaman, at least from what I've heard, a lot of people have given new respect to the character with the New 52 launch. But, like, Animal Man and Swamp Thing seemed like they were more critical hits than they were... Like, hit, which is why they're no longer with us. I mean, part of it, I think, especially with Swamp Thing, was like Snyder had a story to tell. He told it and he moved on.
Yeah, which, that's true.
Which I actually think is something that more comic books should do. It's like, if you have a story to tell, and so you're going to take 20 issues, tell that story in 20 issues and be damned. I hate when it's like, okay, this guy's clearly told everything he wanted to tell, but we need to keep this book going, so we're going to keep going and going and going, and these books make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's best sometimes just to let a book die and then, like, you know, then wait for some other big story to come up. I mean, those type of characters you can do it with. You know, there's your other big characters. I mean, they're always going to sell books, so you just got to keep that story going, even through good and bad creative teams.
Yeah, and I think the New 52 was home for a lot of new and bad creative teams. And I think part of the problem was that they had a lot of people who signed onto these books who had this grand vision, and then they're like, nope, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And I think implanting all of these rules, both on the level of, like, we have to have 52 books, we need to have these books showcase different things, and having the editorial mandates where, like, you can't get married in a New 52, we don't want Superman and Lois Lane to be together, were things that they pretty much handicapped themselves with from the beginning, and I don't necessarily think a lot of these books overcame those handicaps.
Yeah.
I think it created a stigma as well with the editorial things. Like, whenever there was a problem, oh, there must be editorial. And then it got blown out, sometimes out of proportion. Because, I mean, like, if the same thing happened at Marvel, I feel like it would either not have broke, the news wouldn't have broke, or it just got dealt with a lot better.
Well, I don't want to get into that too much. Too much.
Well,
but
there's always
a
public book falling out. Like, Rob Liefeld, I know he's no stranger to arguing with people, but even his fallout on whatever book he was on was pretty public.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because, I don't want to say there's a necessary bias, but there is a thing where, like, DC's this incompetent company, so any mistake gets blown up to, gets proof that they're a stupid company. And it's like, most people don't like Rob Liefeld, but it's like, oh, something went wrong with DC, so let's blame them, instead of looking at, like, anything he's done. Like, I mean, yes, a lot of these mandatory, you know, I think the biggest one was, like, the Batwoman couldn't get married, and people got upset by that. But it was a policy across the company. It's not like they were like, okay, Batman can get married, Superman can get married, Batwoman can't get married. So people made that an LGBT issue when it was just a DC, like, and Marvel has the same policy for, I mean, it's one of the reasons they did One More Day with Spider-Man, is that they think marriage ages their characters.
Yeah.
And I think that's a stupid concept, but it's what they believe. So it's like, okay, we don't want anybody in our universe to be married, but we'll have them date infinity, because, I mean, what, Superman and Wonder Woman's been dating for like 2.5 years now, and Batwoman had her girlfriend for a while. It's just like, we can have them date, but we never have them married, because it dates them to a younger audience we're not getting right now. And I thought that was one of the more shocking things about the New 52 launch, and I think this was spoken about when it came out. A lot of the books they mention, while diverse, were not, they were aimed at a single audience. They were aimed at that audience they kind of already had, that 18 to 34-year-old male or whatever. It was, I remember, you know, everybody used to joke that the New 52 was just blood and limbs, because every issue had somebody getting decapitated or bloodied or having random rooftop sex. And none of those things were kid-friendly. And I think this is something that both Marvel and DC not looked into, but have kind of discovered by accident with the success of books that are a lot more lighthearted with, you know, Captain Marvel, and I guess recently with, we mentioned Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn's a very morbid, dark book, but it's a very, it's black humor, it's very lighthearted in how it tells the story and how messed up she actually is. And, you know, Gotham Academy has had big reviews, and, you know, the reboot of Batgirl has, you know, people talking and buzzing. Batgirl was a weird one, because everybody's kind of shocked that she looks so young, but I've always imagined that Barbara was only in her early 20s.
What's always weird about that book is that I tried to read it, and it kind of felt more like a Stephanie Brown sort of book, because I know Barbara, but I'm not familiar with her, so I always thought she was older than she's being portrayed.
I think part of that was, and I could be wrong, slightly dating you here, but I'm almost certain that for your lifetime, almost for most of my lifetime, Barbara Gordon was always Oracle, and Oracle is not a fun-loving character. It's not like she's some bitter, angry character, but, I mean, she's confined to a wheelchair. She doesn't get to do the whole Batgirl aerobics and stuff like that. So you kind of always think of her older, because it's really weird to kind of think of someone younger as being crippled, but... I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, Batman Agent never makes any sense, but Batgirl and Robin, Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon, were only, like, 12 or 13 when Batman paired up with them, so they couldn't have been much older than 20, 22 by the time they became, like, Nightwing and Oracle, but they're always drawing as, like, young adults, and not necessarily on the early 20s, more like the late 20s saga, but they shouldn't be, because then Batman... is always portrayed as, like, 30s, and that would make him, like, 8 years older than them, which is weird.
Yeah, very.
But...
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense what you're saying, is because you have these characters that there is that age difference. I mean, you can't really think too deep into the whole age thing just because it never makes sense to begin with, because you've had comics going for 70 years, but when you look at what you're saying about the whole wheelchair thing, you always just assume that that person was older and something had to happen to them, like, you know, that they were in their 30s or 40s or something like that, for something tragic to happen, because it's a lot harder to grasp that something could happen like that to a 20-year-old than if it was someone that's actually lived their life a little bit. But yeah. I think, too, the whole thing with her is, like, the way that she was... her new redesign made her, even to me, it felt like she looked like she was even younger. She looked like she was 16 in that kind of redesign.
Yeah, I think that's a disconnect, because they do make her look like a teenager, but she's supposed to be a young adult. And I think that's the problem, is that a lot of people don't know that middle ground. I have the same problem with Damian Wayne, because Damian, as far as I know, is only like 8 or 10, but a lot of people draw him as a teenager, which was really confusing. Which is really confusing, because he's joining Gotham Academy, which I thought was more like 14, 15-year-olds, but I guess not. I guess it's a good kind of school that... it's kind of like those Harry Potter books where you start... when Harry Potter starts when he's like 10 and goes up until like he's 17, 18. So one of those schools, I guess.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they're going back to the New 52. A lot of the things DC did was kind of stupid. And I always felt like they were never as vocal as Marvel was when they had something positive. I mean, some of it was really quickly negated, but like they introduced the gay Green Lantern and then killed his boyfriend off in the first issue.
they had Simon Bazin. If you know what Simon Bass is supposed to be doing after, I think, Justice League of America ended, you please let me know, because I'd love to know.
Yeah, they introduced the Muslim Green Lantern. The first thing, they had him on the cover with a gun, which was a very bad idea for press. And then he kind of disappeared. They introduced an African American Robin at some point, and that went completely under my radar. So they've done all of this stuff, and it's like they don't, you know, like Marvel, it's like, oh, we're gonna have a female Thor, we'll announce that on The View. We're gonna have an African American Captain America, we'll announce that on the Colbert Report. And DC's like, well, I don't know, these things happen. People will figure them out. Helena is introduced as an African-American woman in Grayson, and that's something that kind... a lot of this stuff I earned through Tumblr, and not on the bright side. It's usually on the side... like, I learned about Helena because she was slightly miscolored in another book where she was more light-skinned, and people took offense to that. And that's the press they get. It's like, whenever they do something stupid, everybody hears about it. Whenever they do something that's changed for good, it's kind of like... I don't know, about time. You caught up to whatever. And I think that's a stigma they should have been ahead of the entire time.
Yeah, I think nobody comes with people who are always complaining, like Marvel having the announcement on The View and all these TV shows, and just to be different, they don't want DC to do that. But like you said, if you're doing something positive, and you're doing it for the explicit purpose of getting new readers, so why wouldn't you want to make sure people know about it? I mean, you don't have to go over the top where it's things like when Marvel announced those X-Men were getting married, and then nobody cared the issue afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's actually a bigger problem, and I don't necessarily want to, you know, turn this into a Marvel versus DC thing. It's like Marvel does make a big deal about it, and then stuff just kind of fizzles out. Like, you know, people make a big deal out of female Thor, but from what I understand from people who read the comics, it's a really, not a terrible story, but people are just kind of getting frustrated with the fact that they haven't revealed who she is yet.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, now that's the focus, is like, okay, you know what, you had this story, and like, tell us who the hell this is. Or, you know, and this is a rare thing, but like, they announced A-Force, and that announcement was pushed off of The View. So it's like, okay, comic books, you know, it's a big announcement, but comic books take a back seat because it's not news. It's like, okay, if we had time, we would talk about it. We don't. So here's a press release for this big announcement we hyped up. And kind of going back to the Marvel versus DC thing, and this is something I thought was funny. When they relaunched the New 52, part of me thought like, this was going to be the backbone for the cinematic universe. This is going to be, we're going to modernize everybody for their movie versions. And it doesn't seem to be that's the case. Like, from what we've seen, the Suicide Squad, for example, seems to be more of the original team with the addition of Harley Quinn, who's a New 52 addition. Like, it's, you know, it's Enchantress, it's Deadshot, it's Captain Boomerang, it's King, you know, Killer Croc. And these are a lot of people... It's Killer Croc.
It's not Croc, it's Shark.
No, King Shark. It's Killer Croc, though.
Oh, fine.
I know my DC characters. And you have people like El Diablo, who was a member of the original Suicide Squad, and stuff like that. It seems like a lot of the influence with Batman vs. Superman, from what they've kind of hinted, and they've told us nothing in 2 years, is taken from Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. So a lot of this stuff doesn't seem to be like the New 52. Actually, the New 52 has become the backbone for their animated features, which I'm not a huge fan of. But it's like, you know, I thought like this was, okay, this is setting the table. We're going to kind of have this united vision. This is what we're going to do with the movies, and this is what we're going to do with the comic books. And it's like, no, we have these comics, and we're still not using them for the movies.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. You think, take more elements from the comics. There's a lot of a disconnect, I think, like, with the previous, with the Nolan films, if anything, those were more looking towards the comics, because you've obviously got Year One, there's elements of No Man's Land in Dark Knight Returns, not Dark Knight Returns, Dark Knight Rises, there's even a little bit of the Dark Knight Returns in there, but only small parts. But why they haven't done it for the New 52, do they not have confidence in that line?
Well,
what I would assume, because, I mean, what better way to promote your comics than having, like, a huge movie come out? I mean, that's what's going to draw in new readers as well. It's just people that are, like, they go see a movie and they're interested in it.
Well, I mean, that hasn't been historically true yet. I mean, even with Marvel's huge success, like, it's, like, the, you know, Avengers is one of their best songs, but it's not like these books see, like, these huge upswings. It's that people see the movies and they're kind of satisfied with that. And I think I agree with you. I think the notion should be that people see these movies and they get so hyped that they're like, okay, we're going to go check out these comic books. But it seems like people check out the movies and they check out. And, you know, again, not like it's the same thing where like you see people, millions and millions of people see The Avengers and Iron Man, and none of those people tune in for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And none of those people tune in for Agent Carter. And none of those people go to the comic book shops. So it's like, what can we do to cross that bridge? And I don't think Marvel's figured that out, and I don't necessarily think DC has an answer for that either. I will say this much, though. As a consumer of comic books and a consumer of entertainment, movies, I actually prefer having two kind of distinct styles in the sense that, like, I can tell this is Batman, but I don't have to say, okay, this is, you know, this is an adaptation of this Batman story or whatever. You know, I hate to be, it's one of the reasons I'm not necessarily as keen on the New 52 adaptations to do an animated things. It's because it's like, I know what's missing because I've read this story. It's like, okay, they took this out. They took, I thought this was better in the comics. They do this better. And this is part of the criticism in your head. It's like, what's better and what's worse instead of like, oh, I enjoyed this for what it was.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, that's always a problem with like any kind of book to a movie. You know, your Harry Potters, your any of those kind of books to movies kind of thing, is the people that, you know, read the books first, always, they can tell you all they want, like, oh, I don't care, like, I'm going to see it because I'm a fan of, like, the series. But at the end of the day, your mind just always says, well, they left out this key character, or they left out this key scene, like, it's gonna happen regardless. And it just makes both mediums of entertainment that much more enjoyable when it's not, like, a direct representation of the comic.
To that point, I would say something that I found really funny throughout the history of the New 52 is that the New 52 launched alongside with Arrow on the CW, and that has been really fascinating to watch because the Arrow on the TV show is very different from the Green Arrow they launched with, and
yep.
They've really been trying their hardest to kind of reconcile those two characters, and Green Arrow is on its, what, third reboot in this New 52? Where they're like, okay, we're going to have to get this Allen stuff in there, and then we're going to introduce these characters like that on the TV show, and all it is. And it's like, yeah, it's really weird to kind of watch this tug between, like, the TV show is really popular, but our character looks nothing like him. Our character acts nothing like him. And I actually enjoyed the New 52 Green Arrow when it launched because it was kind of like a James Bond character where he was kind of, you know, he had his team, they gave him gadgets and he went globetrotting. And then they kind of made him more, like, they killed off his support characters. They made him more grounded and gritty and they did the whole Allen stuff. But it's like, it's been fascinating just because those were developed at the same time, but apparently not concurrently. So it's been weird to kind of watch them try to, like, okay, we never knew Green Arrow could be this popular, but now he's nothing like the character people know.
Well, it's also to the point that they've got the writer of the show on doing the book, and I'm not hearing, like, great things from it at this point. I don't know how they match up, if there's any, like, more of a swing towards Stephen Amell character or not, but
yeah, it's going to be really difficult just because of how different his Arrow was from the Green Arrow, and they had a story, they had a template in place, and it's very hard to kind of like you can make some character adjustments, but there's so much of his backstory and the characters on the show that don't actually exist in the comic books that you'd have to kind of stretch and pull and retcon so much of the backstory to make it fit. And especially with that first season where they were killing off a lot of his big characters, you don't necessarily want to do that in the comic book because then you don't, you know, you end up using Count Vertigo and, you know, Merlion technically, even though he was alive for season two and stuff like that. And, you know, people like Diggle and Felicity didn't exist. Well, Diggle didn't exist. Felicity was another. Felicity is somebody's mother.
She's a Firestorm character.
Yeah. And so, yes, that has been interesting. Lucky enough for them, the Flash is a bit more in line with Barry Allen in the comic books. And he dresses the same, even though a lot of people always complain that he has Wally West personality. It is what it is. Barry Allen didn't have one, so he gave him something. So
yeah, I mean, like, when I started watching Arrow, I was shocked at, like, how good it was. But I didn't have too much exposure to the character, like, other than Smallville. And, I mean, we all know the problems with that.
Let's not talk about Smallville.
But, you know, that show got me interested in reading, like, the comics with the New 52. And it was just like, I started reading it and I was just like, this character just doesn't seem, like, that cool. But then, didn't, like, Jeff Lemire take over at that one point? Was he?
Yeah.
Because it was, like, then all of a sudden that, like, happened, and that was, like, a really solid story, and then after that I just kind of, like, lost interest in it again, but... Yeah, I mean, that's just me not really knowing much about the character, and it's...
Well, I mean, and that's kind of, that was kind of my point. It's like, sometimes it's better not knowing, because then, because a lot of people complain, like, oh, this isn't what Arrow would do, this is how he's different from Green Arrow. And one of the funniest things I always find is, like, people are, oh, this is just Batman on TV, when Green Arrow is just Batman in comics. I mean, there's really... There's, way before the show came out, I read Green Arrow Quiver, I think it is, which is when he comes back to life from his death, because everybody does. Mm-hmm. And it's, there's like a panel where he's talking like the arrow cave, the arrow plane, and stuff like that. And Batman's like, did you ever have an original idea in your life? And it's like, yes, there's a direct comparison between Batman and Green Arrow. And I always find it funny that people complain about that on the show. That's the entire purpose. Green Arrow was a poor Batman knockoff in the comics. Not poor, I mean, he's rich, but...
Yeah.
So yes, it's not surprising that he takes influence from the Batman films when it comes to that. I make those comparisons as well, because it's very easy to note them, but Green Arrow is always kind of like... I think the thing that a lot of people miss... And this is something that might not pay as well on TV on a week-to-week basis, is that in the comics, Ollie was uber liberal. He's like a huge political type character. And I mean, he even runs and I think wins mayor in his city, but they don't have that. He's not the Oliver Queen. And I think this is a problem with season 3, not necessarily going into that discussion, is that without like Myra and Thea being outside, he no longer has that Oliver Queen persona as much anymore, and you kind of miss out on that part of him.
Yeah, definitely. That is one of the stumbling blocks of season 3, and it killed Moira. I'm really not happy that Moira's not around anymore.
Yeah, I think that's something we can discuss at another time, but I do think that you can kill too many characters, where it just kind of gets to the point where, like, crap, we have all these great dynamics and nobody's in there. Like, you can't have somebody else get a new mother. Yeah. I guess, you know, kind of sticking with the TV shows, I guess we'll go real quick. The Fury of Firestorm was one of the first books. And, okay, this is my thinking when I read a lot of these titles, and this is actually something I've mentioned. It's something I have an issue with some of the movies and some of the new books. It's like a lot of these characters they announced didn't really have a support system in place when they announced them. Like, Firestorm has villains and stuff like that, but, you know, the current comic reader doesn't necessarily know Firestorm or any of their supporting characters. It was the same thing when they announced Mr. Terrific book, when they announced Justice League Vibe and Katana.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like, you know, I think what they should have done is they should have had more, not necessarily backup stories, I guess is the thing. Like, that's what they did with Shazam. And Shazam ran through the back of Justice League for the first two trades or so, and you got to introduce this character, you got to build up his world and his supporting characters. In theory, once you do that, you're supposed to spin him off into his own book. They haven't got to that stage yet with Shazam.
Which is a crying shame.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. One of my favorite things about watching the animated films is that I really want a Shazam Cyborg team-up book, because I don't think either character is necessarily that strong on their own, but kind of having these two... It would be kind of like a Teen Titans... duo, tag team, instead of like an actual team, and we're not talking about Teen Titans here at all. Nobody mentions Teen Titan. But
I mean, that's something I would read, because like you say, like, I don't think I could read a Cyborg standalone book. It's just not enough interest to me. But then you throw in that little like Shazam dynamic and like their like kind of personality traits like playing off each other, I think that would be like a fun thing to read.
Yeah, and if you really want to push it, and if you've been reading Batman and Robin, Shazam, Cyborg, and Damian Wayne, just kind of make them like a new Young Justice, that would be an interesting one. Just because I do, and this is a criticism people have heavy across to New 52, and something that I've kind of picked up on once I've read, is that nobody in DC Comics enjoys being a superhero anymore. And I think that's true across the board. There aren't a lot of people who live their lives outside of these costumes, and part of it is that they wanted to focus on the superheroics, but you don't get, you know, like, reading, I've read some of the Convergence books, you don't get, like, Stephanie and Tim just hanging out and talking among them. You don't get Dick and Tim talking and hanging out as much anymore. I don't even know Dick and Tim. I guess they crossed over in one of these Snyder events. You don't get Superman and Batman just being BFFs. It's one of those things that with the New 52, they had to try to cheat. It's like we had these relationships people want, but there's no way to create it organically, so we're just going to force it. And it's like, oh, Batman and Superman are best friends. Why? I don't know. They're best friends now.
Yeah, I know you said you don't want to mention Teen Titans, but, you know, that's one of the things. Not even the kids enjoy being superheroes. And isn't that kind of one of the elements of maybe some part of the legacy? But which one of those Titans wouldn't want to be a superhero? Very few of them. We got, like, in the recent Teen Titans number one, they're all four kids. Like, Wonder Girl kills someone. Tim just stands there, and none of them look like that. Oh, great. These annoying civilians can't protect themselves, so I guess we're going to have to deal with it then.
Yeah, I mean, oh, I hate talking about Teen Titans, because I'm never going to get over those costumes. But, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like a lot of them, it's like they take these adult personalities, and it's like none of them enjoy the celebrity. Not even like Beast Boy, who's kind of always been a goofball, enjoys being it. It's like, oh, we have to do this. We have to protect Manhattan again. And nobody gives us credit when we do something. It's like they get the whiny part of Spider-Man, but not the fun-loving part of Spider-Man down.
Yeah, and it's got terrible characters like Bunker, who just is miserable and really annoying.
Okay, I mentioned how DC was trying to be diverse. I completely agree with you with Bunker. Bunker was like, okay, we need a gay Teen Titan, and that's it. That's where his personality stops.
No, isn't he Hispanic as well? So you get that extra diversity check mark.
Oh, I love it because I have Hispanic friends, and they always get mad because almost everybody who's Hispanic in comic books has to speak Spanish. They have to speak like that broken English. So people know, like, ese vato. Yeah, we don't say that. I don't. This is the comic book say you all say. I assume we do. Yeah, and it's the same thing that kind of happened with Blue Beetle, which I was really disappointed with, because the original Blue Beetle series, well, not the original, but the original Jaime series, was one of my favorite comics. And they, you know, they're going back to that world, they were going to reintroduce all his supporting characters, and that just kind of fell flat on its face. And I think, and this is going back to Cal's point, like, how do these books feel and those characters disappear? Like, yeah. You don't put them elsewhere. You don't, you know, you don't try. It's like, okay, you're done. You're on the bench.
Because even Static was supposed to become a member of the Teen Titans. And Jeff Jones, if you're listening to this, I'm still waiting on my Calderon joining the Titans.
Well, okay, I get what happened with Static Shock. Static Shock is such a weird one, because they don't own Static Shock. So yeah. It's like, you know, this is what's happening now, because, what is it? I forget, Milestone is now kind of auctioning off their characters. So it makes sense to not invest completely in something you don't own. And because, I mean, we haven't heard anything about the Static Shock TV show in quite some time. And, you know, people were like, they want Static Shock to be like the final member of that Flash Arrow crossover spinoff show. But again, it's like they don't necessarily own the rights, so it makes no sense to invest in him and then have that. I mean, you know, it's kind of like Marvel and X-Men and Marvel and Fantastic Four. And like they don't have complete rights, so we're not going to focus on them. We're going to focus on the people who can make us money. So, Static Shock I get, but yes, Blue Beetle, Omac, I enjoyed Omac, that was fun, and that character kind of disappeared. And I say that, maybe they're in books I don't read. There was, what is
it? Yeah, I mean, like, Vibe, I mean, I don't know if he's in anything. He had a solo thing for like a hot minute there.
Yeah. Him and Katana had their really weirdy name, Justice League of America's Vibe. And Justice League of America was another book that was really short-lived. I mean, granted, they rebooted that as what Justice United, And it's funny because one of the things they were trying to do with the New 52 was like, okay, no more crossovers. And then within the first year, okay, we're doing a crossover. We're going to do another crossover. And then they had the gimmick months, which we haven't talked about yet, which was every year they would celebrate the New 52 launch with there was the Zero issues, which were like the origins. There was there was the Forever Evil books, which were the fill-in crossovers. And what was last year was It was the one that the one that jumped 5 years Futures End. It was the one that jumped 5 years into the future. And it's like, I get it that you want to do something, but at some point it's just like stop. And
I thought it should have ended after the Villains one. Like that, I thought that was cool, and then they did the Futures End one, and I'm just like, I don't have any interest in this because
you're never gonna get to those stories.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only so much that you can interrupt to the point where people just don't care. I mean, like, there were some books that did it well, like the Wonder Woman books had a decent Zero issue and had a decent Futures End one. Not Futures End, Villains Month one.
Yeah, and just to kind
but
of show
you how... But
they
were too few and far between.
And just to show you how quickly things can change, that team left and people hate the new creative team behind the book.
Well, it's because they treated Wonder Woman as a separate part of the DCU. That was one of the few books that could do whatever it wanted. And then they went, oh, we don't want that anymore. You've got to now acknowledge that her and Superman are together. And all the Justice League drama that's going on.
I've always found that to be a tough part of comic books. It's just having people in multiple books and multiple teams. It creates a constant, because like, okay, they're supposed to be dead here, but they're hanging out here and they're doing this when they're fighting. Like Batman, he's in between, what is he on now? Batman Eternal, he's doing that. He's also spying on Superman and Wonder Woman when he wants to. He's fighting the Joker. So he's got all these things going on at once, and it's like, okay, when do any of these books take place? And they don't even do like the editorial notes anymore, like, oh, read Batman Eternal number 28 to figure out what's going on, or something stupid like that. But yes, I think anytime you kind of stop a book's momentum to do some stupid crossover is a terrible thing. Especially if the crossover has nothing to do with the current arc, and it's just like, a good example, we mentioned Batman... the Batman Joker stuff, the Endgame stuff, and all the Batman books are doing like Endgame one-shots. And it's like, okay, I don't get where this fits in at all, but it's happening. Not that to say that they've been bad books, but it's like, I don't get it. Like, Batman, like, in between Batman dealing with the fact that Damien has superpowers, and Batman dealing with the Joker, and Batman dealing with whoever's, you know, trying to kill him in Batman Eternal, everybody's stopping to pose on bridges and stuff like that.
Well, really, what you're saying is the New 52 is all Batman's fault. Because, especially for the Batman, the Bane Bat title is the be-all and end-all. So that's why we've had every other book's for Court of the Owls, everything had a spin-off for, everything had a spin-off for Death of the Family. Even Green Arrow and The Flash had one for Zero Year.
Yep.
And then... Yeah. The problem is that, and Scott Snyder said it a million times before, but that creative team especially decided to go, everything happened. Which I don't have a problem with particularly, but when they say everything happened here, and we're just going to pretend that everything happened, so screw you, editorial team. And then they're like picking and choosing what didn't happen in every other book.
Yeah, that actually brings up one of my... this was my number one criticism of the New 52, the entire duration of it, is that DC should have shut up. They should don't say, okay, this happened, this didn't happen. Oh, this happened in the 5 years. It was just a super... No, don't say any of that, because you're just muddying the waters, and it just makes it confusing. If it happens, it happens in the story. If it didn't happen in the story, it doesn't count. Because Batman and Green Lantern were two books that stayed unrebooted during this whole thing. And it just created a mess because Batman stayed unrebooted, but Red Robin was rebooted, Nightwing was rebooted, all this stuff was rebooted. And it's like, in 5 years, Batman had four Robins, one of them died and came back to life. Yeah, like, at that point, it's just...
One of them is his 10-year-old son.
Yeah, it's just really stupid, and it's like, stop doing that, because you're just, it's just going to be easy to pick holes in your story when you're trying to make, this happened, but this didn't happen, and then 2 years later, you're like, okay, that never happened, we didn't, and it's like, yeah, you're just going to confuse people, and the entire purpose of the New 52 was to get a new audience, and I don't think the new audience cares. The only people you're catering to are the people who are going to read your books anyhow. Like, hey. The people who are going.
To be fair, I will give him credit that I only started reading DC because of the New 52. I got into comics like, I think it was, when did the New 52 start? In September?
Of 2008, yeah.
Yeah, so 6 months before. So I was pretty much exclusively reading Marvel at that time. So I was in that area, so it did work. It did get me to try a bunch of books. But when it came down to it, the ones that I was actually enjoying were the ones that they seemed to actually care about, to where they were the ones getting marketed. Because Batman, Superman will always be marketed. It goes without saying. They will sell regardless. But then there's ones like Static Shock, who, again, kind of didn't enjoy, ended up dropping. I dropped, I think I tried pretty much all the Bat books and dropped them all.
Yeah, I, even as a huge Batman fan, I dropped a bunch of them. I think the one I dropped the fastest was Batman Dark Knight, because that seemed really redundant and unnecessary.
The Batwing one that managed to stay around, nobody read it, but managed to get 30-odd issues. And that's kind of the problem, that if you stick the Bat logo on, it will sell and it will last longer than other books that will sell less.
Yeah, Italian was another one. Go on.
I was going to say, like, I had, like, only really read just, like, oh, I went, you know, got, like, read the Long Halloween, or I read Batman Year One, like, those kind of things, and then all of a sudden, like, this New 52 happened, I was like, okay, this isn't going to seem as, you know, intimidating anymore, just because, like, you got these, like, 700 numbers for Detective Comics and like that sort of thing, and it was, you know, like Kyle was saying, I just went in there, I just picked up every comic I saw and just read it, and was like, okay, I like this character, I don't like this character, this book seems okay, I'm like, and it was just the first issue, and then all of a sudden it was like I made kind of my decisions of like what ones I was going to start getting, you know, month after month.
Yeah. The problem with that,
and it did get with that diversity, it gave me more exposure to your, you know, Swamp Thing, your Animal Man, your, you know, different kind of characters like that that I probably wouldn't have even thought of to even look at before.
Yeah, and I think that worked. I think to Kyle's point, what he was also saying though is like you pick up, like say you ended up enjoying the Captain Atom, and that lasted a year, and then that was gone. Like there was no book that replaced it. It was like, okay, we're going to do another Batman or Superman book in this place. And, you know, I'm a huge Batman fan, so I'm never going to have this problem. But there are people who don't enjoy reading Batman stories, or maybe they don't want more of the Batman universe, which I actually fall into that camp. Is like when they announced Arkham Man, I'm like, what the hell is this book? What's the purpose of this? And it had no purpose, apparently, because it's canceled after 6 issues. Well,
yeah, it's like Gotham Academy. Stick Gotham on it. It's vaguely Batman related. It's a great book, and I'm sure it'll stay a lot longer now.
But
sales drop.
I actually do think Gotham Academy is a good idea, though. I think that's a good idea in that it's not necessarily a Batman story, and I think Gotham, just because it is associated with Batman, just has this rich history of, it's a very messed up city, so it's nice to kind of see everyday life in it, even if it's through the eyes of kids. So that's going to be interesting, and I do think it caters to a different type of people than you'd get in a Bat book. But yeah, you know, stuff like Batwing was another one you mentioned, which I didn't get how that lasted. I was surprised that thing went on for years. I didn't even know that he died, and he's now Lucius Fox's son or something like that.
Oh yeah. Lucius Fox's son, yeah. That happened, like, in the 20s, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. You knew that because he was in Batman Eternal. And Batman Eternal is another one where they introduced a lot of, they brought back Spoiler, they introduced Bluebird. And I don't know, like, if they're doing anything with them outside of that book now. I don't know. I haven't seen them in the new... I don't even know what you call it now. The new world, the new DC world, the post-convergence DC universe.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of did the same thing with Green Lantern, and they've kind of pulled back on that. But, you know, like when they launched with, like, Green Lanterns, Green Lantern Corps, Green Lanterns, New Guardians, you had Red Lanterns, you had this and that, and a lot of those books no longer exist anymore. And I think it would have been better to kind of focus their energy on telling... I understand why, because there's Hal Jordan, there's Kal Rayner, there's Guy Gardner, and there's Jon Stewart. But I think if you had one book that's kind of like... The Corps was the book that was kind of like everybody else except for Hal.
Yeah.
And then New Guardians, they had to spin off with Kal as a... Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, we don't want to reboot this stuff, and we have this story we're telling. But the Green Lantern books really kind of took a dive. I mean, part of it was when Geoff Johns left the team. I think a lot of people lost interest in that, but... It was DC...
crossing over.
Yeah.
Every other issue.
Yeah, because it was DC's... It was like DC's second biggest brand for a while behind Batman, and now I don't hear nobody talk, except for Josh, talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some decent stories, but it does suffer from the fact that it's just become, with John's leaving, it just almost seems like it's kind of just a clusterfuck with all those books. I think it's going to be a good thing that they're kind of, you know, bringing it down, because it's like we were talking about earlier, there would be stories that, you know, okay, all of a sudden you have Red Lanterns and, you know, Guy's a Red Lantern and he's doing all this stuff, and then you have the Corps, which they're kind of doing their own thing, and all of a sudden they decide, wait, we're going to do this event, you know, this Green Lantern event, now everybody put your stuff on hold, we'll mention it in a couple panels what you've been up to, and then we're really just going to, you know, go focus on this big bad. And I think that's where, like, with John's, it seemed to flow better than how it is now.
I think with him, it was, he had a game plan. He would tell a story that would lead up to an arc, like the, you know, War of the Rings, Sinestro Corps War, or something like that. And then he would pull back for a year, and he'll have, you know, like the event have its effect, and then start building towards a new event. But you never felt like anything in between that was failure. It was always like, it was leading or coming from something. And he didn't do events like every other issue was like it built and built and built, where like it felt like with the Green Lantern, from what I read, and I that's what I tried was like New Gods or whatever that was called. And it's like, okay, we have an event, there's like five books we have to get through, and there's like no, like with John again, his events always kind of ran through Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps, and anything else was a tie-in, but the stories were in those two books. Which is kind of a pain if you ever actually want to read the trades, because they don't include a lot of the tie-ins, and a lot of the tie-ins were really interesting.
I hate that.
Yeah, like, some of my favorite parts of Blackest Night were the tie-ins, and some of my favorite parts of the Sinestro Corps War was the tie-ins as well. But they're not included in the trade, so whatever. But yeah, it just seems like, okay, these events, people want to see Green Lantern events, and we'll just keep doing them with no real, like, what's the game plan, what's the end game, and it's like, Hal Jordan's a Green Lantern, Hal Jordan's no longer a Green Lantern, Hal Jordan's a Green Lantern with Sinestro, Hal Jordan's no longer a Green Lantern with Sinestro, Sinestro's a Green Lantern, it's like, okay, we get it now. And somewhere along the line, they introduced Simon Baz, and he disappeared just as quickly.
Well, that was the thing, too, it seemed like when Johns was doing his run, there would be an issue or two in there where all of a sudden it was like, okay, this big event happened. Now it's going to show them, you know, sitting around having like an intergalactic space beer and just like BSing. And that doesn't seem to happen anymore.
And this kind of goes back to the point of DC characters no longer enjoying being heroes, where they no longer get that time to kind of sit down and reflect and just be people. It's like, we need to always have them in forward movement momentum. It needs to be action, action, action. And again, you know, kind of to compare to Marvel, some of Marvel's best books right now, well, I guess former best books, were not about, like, Hawkeye was not about Hawkeye, the hero. It was about Tim Burton, the character, and the other Hawkeye. The Superior Foes of Spider-Man was about a team of villains, but they weren't really villainous for most of the books. They were just trying to be, you know, trying to live in New York City as some deisters. And I feel like DC misses the boat with that. Not that they necessarily did a ton of that before the New 52, but you still had, like, I guess the best example was Superman Batman, which a lot of the time was Superman and Batman just being dicks to each other.
Yeah.
Isn't there two of those books? Isn't World's Finest that as well?
Well, World's Finest seems to be... I've read World's Finest seems to change focus every few months, because originally it was about Power Girl and Huntress, and then it became a Batman and Superman focused book. And now I think it's back to Power Girl and Huntress, but Power Girl from that universe is now in the Teen Titans.
What? I think that's... Wait, no, the new Power Girl is the Teen Titans, the Black Power Girl.
Yeah, that's the new Power Girl from the Earth 2.
Oh, God. Yeah, I thought she was from... Oh, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, apparently she was on Earth 2, and during some event or something, she the old Power Girl died, and she took on her identity. Basically, I mean, let's call it a spade a spade. It's basically Captain Marvel, where she took on the identity of a hero she worshipped, and then she got born into...
She worship him. I don't tolerate any disparaging comments about Carol Danvers' Captain Marvel, okay?
I'm not talking about Carol Danvers. I'm talking about,
Which Captain Marvel are you talking about?
Is she Miss Marvel then?
When she was Miss
Kamala Khan. Kamala Khan.
Which, Kamala, is or, okay.
Is she Miss
Marvel? Kamala's Miss. Miss
okay,
Marvel.
Miss Marvel. Sorry. but yes. So, yeah, and that's another thing where, again, going back to DC not talking to people, I have no idea when any of this Power Girl stuff happens. I just know people started to talk about, like, oh, there's a Black Power Girl, and she's a teenager, so we know you're going to have a booby window. And that was people's priority.
That's never stopped them before. Have you seen Wonder Girl?
I told you, I do not get Teen Titans costumes.
I feel like the whole sexualized conversation, once they turn in, once they are teenagers, once they are basically children, the costume should not look like Power Girl, not Power Girl, Wonder Girl's looks like.
I am not going to have this discussion on air. I'm just going to say that. It's not a discussion worth it. There's no... Yeah, I'm not. I'm just not going to do that. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Yes, I am a coward. I don't... I'm completely fine with being a coward in this regard. I guess kind of to head on home, like I said at the start, this is the convergence kind of marks the end of this New 52 experiment. Part of it is it does seem to be like DC is like, you know, what continuity be damned. We'll take what people like and what people don't like, and we'll get rid of what they don't like, keep what they do like, which means some stories will still be set in the New 52's current continuity. Other stories will be like, okay, we'll just take the dynamic of Tim Drake and, you know, Stephanie Brown and make that the new thing in our new post-convergence universe or whatever. And I'm all for that. I've always said, I think what is the motto they said? Story trumps continuity. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that. I think continuity is great and all, but I think it's really stupid when you have to be beholden to something that happened 50 years ago because some nerd on the internet's going to get mad because that's not how it happened or something like that. At some point, you just need to tell a good story. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters to me. Is like, if you're, like, you can have a continuity-heavy story that's awful, and you can have a continuity-free story that's great. You can have a continuity-heavy story that's fantastic. You can have a continuity-light story that's terrible. Just have a great story, and that's all I want. But I guess, are you folks interested or excited for any of the new books that they're doing in their June don't call it a reboot?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say, basically, it's going to be, I can see myself just going into the comic store and just grabbing stuff off the shelf again and saying, okay, this is, I like this, I might like this, and just giving it all a try and seeing what happens kind of from there.
Yeah. Go on. For me, and I said it on Twitter to you, Josh, that in the next couple of months, there will be a significant drop in my Marvel books and more DC, but the ones I'm mainly looking forward to are them finally fixing Starfire.
Oh my god!
What I'm looking forward to the most.
We did not talk about Red Hood and Outlaws, but oh my gosh, was that? Especially being that a lot of people know Starfire from the Teen Titans cartoon, that was a terrible direction to go in as far as appealing to any broader demographic. And I'm so happy, and I'm going to get to the point that we mentioned with the New 52. This does not seem to be diversity for diversity's sake. Like, there are some books that I'm sure just got greenlit because it was, like, this book or that book, but... You know, I'm interested in what they're doing with Black Canary because that team has done really good work with with their other books.
Batgirl.
Harley Quinn's writers are getting Starfire, I believe, and that's a great team. I'm just going to say I'm looking forward to Midnighter because the writer follows us, and he's a really great guy. I'm interested in Red Hood. I'm interested in Red Hood and also just because I want to see what they would do. Like, I think they have a button bromance, and I think it's going to be better when you don't have, like, this really questionable female in there. Or, you know, bringing her... Because they're kind of... I mean, they're basically... they're outcast sidekicks. They're the Winter Soldier if he went crazy.
Went?
Crazier.
Oh, okay.
I was disappointed, and I might check this out, but when I read the title We Are Robin, I honestly thought this was a Robin team-up book, which has been one of my dreams for a crossover book, is like having like Dick, Tim, Damien, Stephanie, all kind of...
There was like in Batman and Robin, when Damien was going to take out all the other Robins, and then there was a cool moment in like the final issue where they were all teaming up together. I thought, this is what I want. Why can't I have this?
Yeah, exactly. And it was for me, it was even older than that. Well, not older, but there was a Batman, The Brave and the Bold comic when they used to do the tie-in to the TV show that had all the Robins teaming up to help Batman. And this is like all the Robins. I think they also got a Carrie from The Dark Knight Returns and stuff like that. And it was really cool. I'm like, you have all these great characters who don't necessarily get to spend a lot of time together because they're always kind of seen through the filter of Batman. So it's not like you have them together without him that often. It'd be great to kind of see them team up on a weekly basis. Or not even, you know, they could just have fun with it. Like, what is it working with the old man? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's mostly that. At least the long overdue Damien book is happening. Robin's son of Batman.
Which I think is stupid. But...
How much did you get paid for like promoting that right there?
Millions.
it's much better than their other naming convention, which is New Suicide Squad or New Teen Titans.
Yeah. Well, that's where Marvel's bad. Is super all new Omega.
Marvel is awful with that. The all new, almighty, all fresh, all original, original recipe.
What, the all super new crispy. Yeah. I hate the Miles Morales : Ultimate Spider-Man. I hate that title so much.
What was the other... what Ultimate Comics Presents Spider-Man? Was that one?
No. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ultimate Comics Presents Spider-Man.
That was like very stupid name. But yeah, there are... we'll see how this goes for the website. The intent right now is to do the same thing we did with the New 52, which is we reviewed every single issue of the first wave of the New 52. Which was not a fun experience. But this is much lighter. There's only 24 books, and it's not over 1 month. It's spread out over, I believe. I mean, as of right now, there's a handful of books in June, and then there'll be a handful of books in maybe July. They haven't gotten that far in the solicitations yet. But the hope is that we'll cover them as much as possible, and... not necessarily tell you what's worth reading or not, because everybody's going to have different tastes, but I think it would be great to kind of have some opinion on every book that comes out there. So, yes. Any final thoughts on the New 52 before we head out, gentlemen?
Josh, go first.
I'm going to say, like, it's going to hold a place in my heart because it did get me into comic books. I know that there's problems with it, and there's, you know... all that kind of stuff, but I have to, like, credit getting me, like, kind of actually to be on the show today, so.
Okay. Kyle?
Again, I started reading comics around the time, so I was grateful for introducing me to a few new characters and that. But over time, the interest has started to wane more with this company. But I'm pretty much ready to jump back in with all these new titles.
Okay. As for me, I've said this before, and I'll always say this. I'm always going to take an interesting experiment over, you know, a safe route. And while the New 52 has a share of problems, and unlike you two, I've been reading comics for over a decade by the time the New 52 came out, so it wasn't getting me into comics. But I do appreciate that it got people into comics. It got people, you know, it got you two into reading DC Comics. It got some of my friends into reading books, because one of the questions that people always ask when it comes to comic books is, or what they say is, I don't know where to start. And this was a great starting point for a lot of people, and that you can kind of pick up books that you are interested in, or characters that you probably knew from either Batman or the movies or the Justice League cartoon, and you can check those out. And you can build on that and find other characters related to that. So I'm always going to appreciate the fact that it got people reading comics. And I think for the longest time, and it's still something that hasn't reversed, Marvel nor DC has fixed this, but comic books have been a dwindling market. It's been shrinking year over year for decades now, just because those characters exist elsewhere, and it's always been this huge roadblock to get into. I'm just happy that somebody saw that problem and tried something with it. If it failed or succeeded, well, we won't know for years to come, because, you know, for everybody they got new to read the books, they also got people who left because they weren't happy with the reboot or using this continuity. But it did get these characters out there, got people on board, and it was it was a fun experiment. It was fun to check out these new books and these new visions. They made a ton of mistakes along the way, but I would take all those mistakes again if they tried something like this. It was brave, it was bold, it was daring, it was stupid, but it was worth every moment of it. So I am going to miss it. I'm not going to miss the branding. I really think it should have gone away a year after the whole thing launched, but I'm going to miss the concept of the New 52. So I think that will do it for us this week. So you can check out Kyle and his work when he wants to review comic books at nerdsunchained.com. You can find
Josh. You're going to whore out my podcast. You know, I'm not
okay.
Going to whore out my podcast.
I was about to say, if you want to whore out the podcast that Kyle's on, though, he's not the star of the podcast, because he's like the fifth wheel on a three-man podcast. You can check out the Ultimate Spin podcast, which is focused on, I guess it's going to be focused on Spider-Gwen now, if Miles Morales' Spider-Man's over?
It will be, we'll still be covering the end, at the end, the title, which is so creative, of the Ultimate Universe. Obviously, Spider-Gwen will still be covered for now, and then when all new, all different Avengers will continue to grasp at straws and make the most niche podcast the world has ever seen.
Hey, you're on this show, so we're super niche as well. You can also check out Josh when he wants to review comic books at nerdsontherocks.com. We've gotten Josh back up to one a week at East, so that's something. And you can check me out when I don't review comic books ever at nerdsontherocks.com as well. I do a lot of the other stuff, though. I review a lot of the DC animated features. Speaking of, this week is the release of Batman vs. Robin, which is actually really good. I preferred over Son of Batman, which I thought was a really weak one. Hopefully we have a review up of Batman Unlimited when that comes out next month. I don't do this every week because I think it's stupid, but every now and then I check out the TV shows and I review episodes of that. So right now I currently watch Gotham, Arrow, The Flash, iZombie, Daredevil, which I'm not going to review an episode of Daredevil. It's all right there. I can tell you right now, if this thing falls completely on its face, it's completely worth watching. It is easy the best thing Marvel's done in the TV front. And honestly, it's one of the best comic book shows I've seen. I'm not going to say it's the best ever. I'm not finished
with it. Better than Birds of Prey?
We don't talk about Birds of Prey. I might watch Birds of Prey before I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. Who knows? And, yeah, we'll discuss this in May, but we'll have all this discussion of all the new comic book shows that are coming out, including an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff, the Flash Arrow spinoff, Supergirl, Preacher, DMZ, The Walking Dead spinoff. There are at least a dozen comic book shows in the making, not counting the half a dozen or more that's airing right now. And hopefully, if we can find it, I do want to have Josh and Kyle back to talk about all these shows. I'm sure, like me, they watch a lot of them. They don't watch all of them. I know some people have problems with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all of us, but that's a show. In addition to that comic book stuff, we also do have weekly reviews up from Josh. We have some from Dan. We have Tim and John who provide our reviews. And like I said, we're going to try to do a team thing and get as many of the post-convergence DC books reviewed as possible. I am still trying to work out what the hell we want to do for Marvel. As far as, like, Secret Wars go, I want to cover Secret Wars, but I don't necessarily want to cover, like, Last Rites or Last Day, Battle World, and all that other stuff, because that's a lot of books, and there's only so much money I have in me. So, check that out. We'll have some Marvel coverage. We do talk about Marvel, you know, from time to time. But but for Josh, Cal, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks.
Goodbye.